is the week that changed everything. Last week, our theme was, we're made for more. Last Sunday, I cast a small vision and I called people to help. If you tuned in with us, or maybe you're going to watch it later, or maybe you watched it this week, we actually have 7 people right now making masks for our local hospitals and medical facilities here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. They're making them, and it's not an easy task, and they're doing their best. And we should have around 250 masks done and delivered this week on Holy Week. Isn't that incredible? Praise God. Praise God, that's so incredible. I want to thank everybody who's helped in this endeavor and being the church at this time. Just because we can't meet together doesn't mean that the church stops. Amen? Just because we're not on a Sunday, right? I wear this shirt that I love, and Jesus is bigger than Sunday, you know? He's bigger than Sunday. It's not about Sunday morning. I love that we gather together on Sunday right now, but Jesus is bigger than Sunday. We're the church, and we're not going to be stopped because there's this virus that makes us stay in our homes. We are going to be the church in whatever the Holy Spirit asks us to do. So I'm so thankful for you. Thank you, everybody who's given toward helping our community with COVID-19. If you'd like to donate on our website, firstopenbible.com, or you would like to go to our church app, and there's a drop-down menu, and you can select other, and then just type in COVID-19 and give toward that. We got a bunch of other stuff that's coming up that we're trying to think of ways we can be the church at this time to bless our community and to pray for the sick and see them be healed, because we were made for more. Amen? I want to talk to you about one other thing. So my wife had a dream about a week ago. And she was woken by the Lord, and she said, I had a dream last night, and she told me about it, and I thought, this is awesome, right? We have to do something about it. It says in the last days that the Spirit is going to pour out. We're going to have dreams and visions. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit, is that dream from you, God? Or is that dream because I ate pizza before I went to bed? You know what I'm saying? There's sometimes dreams that are of God, and sometimes there's things of flesh. And my wife told me about this dream, about this thing called a prayer drive. And I said, oh, I had to, a lot of times she has ideas, and then I have to think about it because I'm a processor and I'm an implementer. I want to get it done. I want to think all the ways. And while somebody's explaining something to me, I'm thinking of all the ways it will work and it won't work. So I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. And then we come to a conclusion that we have to do this thing. And we cast the vision. I organize a bunch of stuff, get a bunch of things in order. And what we did was this. Now, we can't meet together with anybody more than 10. But we can drive together. We might not be able to walk together, but I'm going to get my Durango. I'm going to lead a small army of prayer warriors. And so we had to do that. So this is what we did. On Friday night, it was so awesome, is I called anybody who would like to come. I cast a vision and my wife's dream, and we said what we're going to do. And on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to leave the parking lot. So please come at 6:45. And I didn't know who'd show up. I didn't know how many. If it was just us, we would do it. We had our kids in the back of the car, and everybody was with their own families. And we said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to drive down our street, and we're going to go to one hospital. And as we go to that hospital, we're going to come around, and there's going to be a bunch of medical facilities in between one hospital and the other. See, in Cedar Rapids here, we have 2 major hospitals right here downtown in our city. And we're blessed for that because these are really good hospitals too. And so we're driving, and then as we drive down, there's a bunch of medical facilities, there's supply stores, there's a cancer center, there's all this stuff. And we're driving, then we get to the other hospital. But on our way, we're flashing our lights. And as we're thinking of that, the Word of God says that we're the salt of the earth, right? And we're the light of the world. So every time we flash that, we're showing that we're the light of the world. And we're flashing our lights. We didn't want to honk because there might be people sleeping or people in discomfort. But we wanted them to know. So we called beforehand. We called these hospitals. And we told them about what time we would be there. And I don't know how many cars showed up, but I'm guessing 50 to 60 cars showed up. And there was about 4 or 5 cars that I've never seen those people in my life, right? I don't know who they were. But here's the thing. It's not about First Open Bible as a church. It's the church. I don't care who you are. If Jesus is the Savior of your life, we're going to worship together in heaven. And Jesus tells us that we can have heaven here on earth. So why not worship together? Why not pray together? Why not do what we have to do to spread the gospel? So we drove to those. 50, 60 people were following behind us in their cars, and it was full of families, and it was just amazing. And as we drove down, there was one of the hospitals, and oh man, they were at the window, and they were waving. And it was like, wow, God, this is what it means to be the church. Because we could sit around and read this all day, but what good is it if we don't do something about it? Good is it? This is not for us to keep. This is for us to hide in our hearts, to share. Amen? Gotta share the gospel. We need to be the Bible with skin on. We got to do what Jesus did. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. So I'm so thankful for that. And here it is. This Friday, it's Good Friday. We're going to do it again. Amen? We're going to do it again. And I hope we fill our parking lot. I mean, we had a good chunk of our parking lot full. Man, if you got to park in the grass, I don't care. You know, I tried to get a police escort, but they weren't able to do it this time, and they might not be able to do it next time just because there's a lot of lights, and they don't want something to happen where, you know, people are silly, and they're afraid that, you know, the world is sue happy, and they're afraid that if we get in a wreck or something happens, they're going to sue the city, this should have been a police thing, whatever. It's fine. We got the Holy Ghost going before us, right? We got angels all around, so that's cool. You know, if they want to join, please feel free to join. Man, we support you. We believe in you, Cedar Rapids Police Department. And we're so thankful for what you're doing at this time, especially when people start to act a fool, right? They're inside all day, and they're like, I got to just do something crazy. And I'm so thankful that you're protecting us at this time. But I'm super stoked that this Friday we're going to do it again. 7 o'clock, we're going to leave. Please come at 6:45. I'll come out and pray over what we're doing, and we're going to pray over the hospitals, and we might add a few things too. There'll be a vision cast this week as I pray about it more and get it implemented. But see, I'm so thankful that we were made for more. Amen? Well, here it is. It's April 2020, and this month's theme at First Open Bible is called The Difference. Did you know that all we do and say begins to change when we begin living from a perspective of eternity? Everything. An eternal perspective can create an eternal difference. Jesus is the difference. He's the difference. But what you understand about Jesus is what will make the difference in your life and the lives around you. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Not who is Jesus to your neighbor, not who is Jesus to your family member. Who is Jesus to you? Almost exactly 2,000 years ago, in 30 AD, during the springtime, the Jewish people, God's children, missed an eternal perspective of King Jesus. Yes, they even missed it on Palm Sunday. In the holy city of Jerusalem, there was a large crowd gathering. There were pilgrims and people. They've been coming from all over the land for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus had spent many months traveling through the towns and the villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is near. It is here, right? And he healed the sick wherever he went. Now the time had come for him to claim his title as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one God had promised to the Jewish people. At this time, Jesus knew his first mission on earth was almost finished. Why'd I say that? Because he's coming again. That's why. As they traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned the disciples that he would soon be put to death. But 3 days later, he would rise again. Alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As they came near Jerusalem, Jesus told his two disciples to go into a nearby village and bring him a donkey. A young colt would be tied up in the middle of the street, and it would just be waiting there for them to come and to get, so Jesus could use the donkey. Here's a side note. In this story found in Mark chapter 11, have you ever thought about the owner of the young donkey? Someone who owned a donkey put their donkey in a street, tied him up outside in the open, so it would be in a place for the disciples to come and get, so Jesus can use it. Some bystanders asked what they were doing. What are you doing with that donkey? And they told them, the Lord needs it. So they let the disciples take the young colt. This seems so simple, doesn't it? Seems simple. But I bet the owner of the donkey never really knew the incredible impact he would make by giving away his own possession in obedience. So you at home, never ever underestimate what God is asking you to do. You never know the internal difference it could make by you being obedient in the little things he asked you to do for him. Come on now. So after the two disciples bring the donkey to Jesus, Jesus rides on it all the way into Jerusalem. The riding in on a donkey was fulfilling a prophecy that can be found in Zechariah chapter 9. And it also has great symbolism. See, in those days, if somebody was riding into a city on a donkey, it meant they came in peace. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." On the first Palm Sunday, the crowds of the people spread their coats on the ground in front of him. Many of them also waved branches of palm trees, which was a sign of victory or triumph. As Jesus rode in, the people shouted, Matthew 21:9 says, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Hallelujah. See, only a king would be greeted in this way. And the people wanted Jesus to be their king. But here's where God's children missed the eternal perspective. Most of the people did not understand what kind of king Jesus was to be. See, God doesn't do things like man does them. To make an eternal difference, you have to see eternally, and you have to do eternal things. It's so easy to look at the natural and focus on what is right in front of us, isn't it? It's easy just to see what's right there and then just focus on that. It's much harder to focus on what has gone ahead of us or even what's about to arrive. Church, during this uncertain time in our world, is Jesus King? Are you inviting him into our city streets with coats laid upon steps and palm branches waving while we shout and understand he ultimately is the triumphant king? What is the world proclaiming today on Palm Sunday? But here's the important question. What about the church? The Jewish people expected the Messiah to be a great political leader, like a president, like a Caesar, like a governor, or a mayor. Or they thought he would come in as a military leader who would free them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. That is the enemy. We must rise up. Anarchy, we gotta go. We gotta take over, right? Chaos. Let's just take over. Lead us, Jesus. See, don't you find it ironic that most of the world right now on Palm Sunday is looking for a savior, but again, like 2,000 years ago, people are looking for an earthly ruler. Yet, they're still denying the real eternal king. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's a spiritual, heavenly kingdom. This is not what the people expected the Messiah to come like. They wanted a natural war, not a supernatural one. Their difference they wanted was won by sight and not by faith. Right now, what kind of king do you want in our world? What are your expectations of Jesus for COVID-19? dare we shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, our King is here!" While pestilence seems to be ruling and dominating all that we've come to know as normal. Here's a real thing about Palm Sunday. Many will be present at the parade, but 5 days later, absent at the cross. Well, that is, unless you have an eternal perspective. Unless you understand the difference that Jesus truly made as Messiah and Savior. Amen? Amen. Did Jesus come for a temporary reign? Come on, three church. Three in the back. Man, we got six, seven. So you know, Cedar Rapids, this is seven. We're under 11. Hallelujah. Did Jesus come for a temporary reign? No. Jesus came for an eternal reign with an eternal purpose to make an eternal difference. How you personally view Jesus on Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, any day during the year will determine your eternal difference. So even now, what are you focusing on? Things that are temporal or things that are eternal? We all can start with waving victorious palm branches, but moments later find ourselves in a state of defeat. Ah, Lord, what are you going to do? There's sickness everywhere, God. At least that's what CNN tells us. Why is that? Because our focus was on temporal things, not eternal ones. Please don't shout Hosanna 1 week and then the following week run in fear. Psalm 56:3 tells us this. But when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Man. Far too often, we're passionate about things that don't really last. Things that are not centered on the eternal. Things that don't make a difference. With what we're facing right now in our world with COVID-19, we have lots of time to reevaluate, right? Many things in our life. Man, I guess that wasn't really a priority. I thought that every day that I focused on this thing that I can't actually do right now, I thought it was so great, but it's really not. With our social distancing and the temporary closing down of any social events over 10 people, we have a chance to lay down our cloaks, lay down our coats, and wave palm branches as we invite King Jesus back into our hearts and our minds again. We invite Jesus to make the difference in all that we are. Hosanna, Hosanna, come. Reign again. Reign again. Let me read God's word to you so we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us with an eternal perspective. Amen? By the way, that last song, Give Myself Away, we're going to do that when I'm done preaching if you're good with that. Let me just, you'll see. You'll see why. Let me read God's word to help us with an eternal perspective. Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not just the things of earth. Come on now. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is in your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Amen. Church, the Christian life is supernatural. This is not something we do. This is something we are. What is happening in our world right now with this epidemic is both physical and spiritual. I don't know all of what God is doing right now in these uncertain times, but I know that God is in it. This does not shake him or surprise him. If you're watching this today and you're questioning, I don't believe in this invisible God. Let me ask you a question. Why are you sitting in your house right now believing in an invisible virus? Because our God is bigger. Our God is bigger. And just because you don't see him does not mean that he's not there. Come on now. See, personally, this is what I think. Anybody care what I think? No? Okay. I'm going to say it anyway because I got the mic. Hallelujah. Personally, I think God is ready to pour out his healing bowls upon us if we would just humble ourselves, pray, and seek God again, and turn from our wicked ways, and proclaim King Jesus in our cities again. Be ready, church. Be ready, world, for the Spirit of God is going to move in a new way, in a way we have never seen before. I believe it with all that I am. Revelation, it's the last book of God's Word, chapter 12, tells us some awesome stuff in just two verses. Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters," and if you read King James, "of the brethren, has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him." Why and how? "By the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Come on. How can we fight eternally? How do we defeat the enemy? How can we be the difference? "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony." I'm reminded this week again that God did not save us to sit. He saved us to serve. Please don't self-isolate or quarantine your gifts or your contributions during this worldwide pandemic. It is time to be a part of the difference. Time. I'm going to ask you to do something. Okay? You're at home, right? Kids, shh. Pastor's going to ask me something. Right? The dog's barking. Shh. I want to ask you something. Will you join me and wave a palm branch of victory to the world next week with your personal testimony? Will you do that? See, I believe that all of us doing this together, this is going to make an absolute eternal difference in our world. This week, if you're saved, start preparing your testimony and how Jesus saved you this week. Some of y'all ain't even working. You got plenty of time to write this down. Prepare your testimony how Jesus saved you, saved your life, and reshaped your heart. Because next Sunday, Easter Sunday, he is risen. Amen. He's alive. Tell the world, tell the world, tell the world, tell the world. See, next Sunday, Easter, we have a live stream right now. We're going to do it again next week here at First Open Bible. I want you to go on your Facebook Live, your personal one, or your Instagram, or your whatever you need to go on, some social media event, or somehow maybe make a video and then send it out, whatever platform you choose, and tell the world about Jesus, the one who made the difference in your life. But here's the important part. At the end of your video, before you sign off, invite all your listeners to pray with you the prayer of salvation. Lead them. Lead them. Lead them. And when you post a video, do a hashtag the difference. We're going to flood. This Easter Sunday, let's bombard social media with the gospel, with Jesus, with the difference. Amen. Now you may be saying this, Pastor, I know y'all just saying this, so many of you. I can't do that. What? Make a video? Tell people about Jesus and what he's done in my life? I never even really prayed for somebody out loud. It's time for the church to rise up. Wake up, oh sleeper. I can't do that, Pastor. I've never done something like this before in my life. Let me tell you, well, I have never done something like this either. But I want to reread you something that God gave me this week for you on Palm Sunday. Quote, in the story found in Mark 11, have you ever thought about the owner of the young donkey? Someone who owned a donkey put their donkey in a street, tied up outside in the open, so it would be in a place for the disciples to get it and Jesus to use it. Some bystanders asked what they were doing, and they told them, the Lord needs it. So they let the disciples take the young colt. Seems so simple, doesn't it? But I bet the owner of the donkey never really knew the incredible impact he would make by giving away his own possession in obedience. So you at home, never ever underestimate what God is asking you to do. You never know the internal difference it will make by you just being obedient in the little things he has asked you to do for him. End quote. It's time to prepare your possession and leave it in an open area so God can take it and use it. And if anybody asks, just tell them, the Lord needs it. Amen. Next week, the Lord is going to use your testimony to make an eternal difference. This Easter Sunday, the gospel of hope is going to spread like it has never spread before. The word and the world is going to hear about this word, the difference. And how are they going to hear it? They're going to hear it through you. So you got friends, you got family, and you got coworkers, and you got people that you don't even know why you hit. Yeah, I'm going to allow them to access, right? You're like, I don't know if I should have done that. There are people everywhere that needs to hear about the difference in your life. It's time. Many of you, I'm gonna prophesy. I feel like I have a word of knowledge for you. Like, you're not even here, but I have a word of knowledge. For so long, you've asked God, how do I come out and how do I share the gospel to people that I am so afraid to do? I've been asking God, give me that opportunity or give me the wisdom or give me the strength. And you've been so fearful and you've been so afraid, but time is now. God is going to empower you. I pray that right now by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to rise up. See, greater is he that's in you than anybody or anything or what anybody thinks about you in the world. You're going to do it, and you're going to do it with the power of God. And it can be simple. Make it a minute. Tell people, make it 5 minutes. Tell them about what Jesus did, how he made the difference, and be the difference in our world. Let me read two verses that you're very familiar with. And I'm going to say a few more things, and I'll ask you to come up, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to lead you in one more song. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. While we're shut up in our homes like Noah was with his family, I believe a flood is coming. Cool. Next week, it's going to be raining testimonies. Matthew 21:9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Pray with me. Will you come worship? Worship duo. Father in heaven, we love you and we worship you right now. We thank you for sending your Son, laying in a manger, raising him up for 33 years, teaching us the way it is to see the kingdom of God here on earth. Thank you for sending the Messiah, the Savior. Thank you for sending the Son of David. Thank you. Hosanna, Hosanna, our King is here. You are triumphant in all that we do. Even if we don't see it with our sight, we believe it in our faith that you are the God that we worship. You're alive, you're alive, you're alive. And we thank you for this Palm Sunday. And I ask that right now, everybody who's thinking, how am I going to write that? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Get out of your head and into your heart. Get out of your head and into your heart. Get out of your head and get in some compassion. Think about the ones that you're giving this to, your possession, putting it out in the open for God to use. Don't think about your own selfishness, but I'm going to miss my donkey. Forget about the donkey. Present it to God. Let him ride on it and see the eternal difference that God is going to make. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy, worthy. Lord, and as we are here in our homes, and as we're, few of us are here in this sanctuary right now, God, we give ourselves away so you can use us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty, glorious, and wonderful name, amen. Amen. Love you.
Giving myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. Give myself away, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, I give myself away so you can use me. Trading it all in for you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I give myself away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that doesn't go out void but accomplishes everything that you sent it forth to do. We glorify you today, Jesus.